Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to worship you this morning. Thank you for the reminder that being a Christ follower means that we can know you and you can know us. No other religion in the world allows that to happen. We have a unique opportunity to be in communion, in companionship, in love with our Creator. And we thank you for that today and always. In Jesus' name, amen. So I told you that theme of knowing you and knowing God and being intimate, and that's going to run through the rest of the day. It already has, and it will continue to do so. So this is the last week of our series called Patterns. We spent time over the last 5 weeks diving into two verses in the Bible found in Romans 12, first two verses. Each week we've read these verses together. And now I'd like to ask for a volunteer to come up and read that from memory. And seeing none, we'll move forward. And how about if we read it together? Is that better? Okay. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. Let's review quickly. I want to spend our time today in the last part of verse 2, which is what you see right there. But before we do that, we need to have this set up refreshed to know how we'll be able to do what this passage says, okay? So the first week, we were challenged to realize that we have patterns. Some are life-giving, some are life-draining, but we all have patterns, okay? Week two, we witnessed the surrendering ourselves to God is the only hope we have to release those bad patterns, okay? Real and lasting freedom is found in the surrender of those destructive habits or patterns. Then week three, we discussed that resist or not conforming to the patterns of the world would require us not to simply release them, as we learned in the second week, but we actually have to start new patterns of spiritual disciplines. Disciplines like Bible reading and prayer and fasting, just to name a few. Then receive. What'd I do? Oh, sorry. Then receive. Receive the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. That's what we learned last week. We've been given someone that will walk us on this journey of transformation. At the time we became believers in Jesus Christ, we are infused with the Holy Spirit so that we can receive the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Renewal happens as we build these new patterns in our lives. And then we learned last week that whatever we do consistently becomes what you do automatically, right? The pattern of realizing, releasing, resisting, and receiving is most likely not a one-and-done pattern. I need to wake up every day and repeat this healthy pattern. Every day. Jesus even told us it's not a one-and-done. He said that if we want to follow, it will require a daily connect. He said to them, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross. How often? Daily. And follow me. What the world attempts to throw at me is pretty tempting. But I can claim victory because I'm not doing this on my own. I don't have to fight this battle by myself. The passage continues with this little adverb, then. Then means movement. The journey continues. We put in all the work to realize. We put in all the work to release. We put in all the work in to resist. Then what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Great. I get to test and approve this Almighty God and His will. Whoa. There's so much more to this than we even think. Hang in with me. There will be a great reward. See, there it is, last word. I promise you that when we leave here today, you will have a clear idea of what God's will is for your life. But this verse doesn't point to God's master plan for family, for career, etc., does it? Let's look at the clues we see in Paul's letter that help us understand what God's will is. Paul says this: God's will for the believer is good. It is good because God is good. God's will for the believer is good. It is good because why? God is good. The brother of Jesus, name was James, he wrote this: every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. God's goodwill is revealed for our benefit and the benefit of those we love and serve. God's will is good. God's will for the believer is pleasing. God loves His creation so much that He is always welcoming us into His family. God calls us child. We call Him Father. God welcomes us into His family by experiencing His pleasing will. In Matthew, we see that Jesus is teaching interrupted. He looks at His disciples while He calls them His family. Jesus goes on to say this: for whoever does the will of My Father in heaven is My brother and sister and mother. That was His answer to who is My Father, who is My mother, who is that? That's us. If we do the will of the Father, we are Jesus' brother and sister, and some of you can be His mother. So, His perfect will has no defect. His perfect will fully reaches the goal, the purpose, or the end that was intended. Unfortunately for me, it's taken longer for God's perfect will to be accomplished. I'm pretty stubborn, anyone else? But that being said, God's will for the believer is perfect. Following God's perfect will makes us better reflections of God's perfect nature. God's perfect will leads us to spiritual maturity. One of the best places to see God's perfect will is in the Bible, turns out. Scripture was given to make the believer perfect in the sense of being thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what the Bible is for you, to thoroughly equip you for every good work. And I didn't write that, Paul did. Of course he did. He wrote everything. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Please hear this. We are not perfect because of what we can do. I don't know that that needed to be said, but it's so obvious I'm going to say it again. We are not perfect because of what we can do. But we are perfect when we let God do what He wants to do in and through us. Remember that surrender thing that we talked about? God, the creator of all that we can see or imagine, is so good, with a capital G. God loves us so much that we see words like pleasing and perfect when He thinks of us. God is giving us a reward. He is giving us all we need for a journey with Him. And it's a journey, and it's not a destination. I've often thought of the reward thing of living this life as a Christian was all about a far-off reward of salvation. Period. Full stop. I get a reward when I pass from this life to eternal life. Well, guess what? Your eternal life starts now. This same God that created you, this same God that loves you, is the same God that has good and pleasing and perfect things to share with you now. We can have a reward now. I can see that some of you are a little anxious to get to what God's will is for your life. I don't know that I can see that, but I can sense it. I mean, I'm getting there. Just be patient. Here we go. We do as Paul says, and we put in all the work not to conform, while relying on the Holy Spirit to continue the work of transformation in us. And then we get a reward, and that reward is that we get to celebrate. The reward now. We get to test and approve what God's will. Yay! Have you ever thought maybe you've missed God's will? It was revealed years ago, and now I have to try and put it all together myself. This passage at one point made me a little grumpy. I thought, if I allow God for God's work to get to work on me, if I put in the work resisting temptation, seeking transformation, and I will have cracked the code for God's will in my life. Finally, the master secret will be revealed. I will know what I'm supposed to do for a career. I will know what I'm supposed to do when it comes to a family. Let's talk big picture. God's will is sometimes a mystery. He is the ultimate over everything. Some things that are part of God's plan we may never know, and probably, if I'm honest, I would not be able to handle. The Israelite nation was told something similar many years ago. The secret things belong to the Lord, our God. But the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. God will always accomplish what God needs to accomplish. He is God and we are not. That's His part. We need to do our part. I'm not talking about the overarching will of God for the entire universe. That's overwhelming. Not going there today or ever. I can easily make this more difficult than it's intended. I now read Paul's promise of a reward, and I see a different take on testing and proving God's will. We're talking about a God that knows me. Remember what we talked about all morning so far? I know Him, He knows me. He wants to be with me. Let me say that again. God wants to be with me and you. God wants to be with us, even in our mess. God wants nothing more than to spend time with us. So, I will say this as simply as I possibly can. God's will for you is about the posture of your heart. It's not about how much or what you do. It's not about a transformed heart that naturally does what Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica. God's will for you and me is to rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is what? God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Paul says, allow for transformation in your life and you will be rewarded. The reward is testing and approving God's will, not just once in a lifetime, but throughout your entire life. And the lens that we test and approve is with the lens of rejoicing and praying and giving thanks. It's taken me a while to reprogram my view of God. I had to spend some time understanding that God is not waiting for me to please Him with how much I can do for Him. God is inviting every one of us to walk with Him now. And a transformed heart is what God desires. The closer I walk with God, the more my thoughts are in line with His thoughts. The more I walk with God on this journey, I get to hear more from my Creator as I walk through life one step at a time. It's daily. The transformation allows us to align with God's thoughts and God's plans as you are more aligned with God. Your desires and God's desires start to line up. This is a lifelong journey. The psalmist put it this way. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. That's conforming. As I walk with God and seek transformation, my desires become more kingdom-focused. I want to conform to that, right? That gives me peace and comfort. My desires match God's desires for me. What about my direction in life? God's will is for you to rejoice, pray, and give thanks. The rest is a plan God might have for you. Think of this. If I'm called to be a preacher, a teacher, a dentist, fill in the blank. And we say God's will for my life is to blank. Well, what if I'm not able to due to an accident? What if I lost my voice? Am I no longer within God's will? No matter what I do, I can always have a heart that is being transformed to always rejoice, pray, and be thankful. God has a plan. But as God is concerned with the posture of our hearts, the plan is a little more fluid. The will of God for us to aid him in reconciling all creation to God. We're helping him to do that. This allows for freedom. One of the members of our writing team, and she's spoken here before, Pastor Barb Fay, she shared her story of a conversation she was having with God one day. She was wrestling with where God was leading her when it came to the educational preparation for full-time vocational ministry. She had a couple options before her and was desiring the will of God for her future. She tells the story. She was on US 131. She says, I was pleading to God for an answer, and I clearly heard God tell me, I don't care. I care about you. I gave you the desire in your heart, and I want you to chase that in any way you feel is right. She said it was like she felt like a weight had been lifted. Freedom was experienced when Barb knew that whatever way she decided, God was with her. And if she ever took a detour, which she did not, God would help realign her desires with His will. That's good. That's pleasing. That's perfect. If God's will for my life was to accomplish or do one thing, that's scary. And that's very heavy to carry. Do this. I mean, you're just waiting for failure, right? And it's less about the plans He has for me and more about the posture of my heart. His creation story shows He created and He said it was good. Thank you. We're going to do a whole series on Genesis, and you're going to hear that a lot. He created, and I'm not kidding about that, He created man and woman in their image, and God said it was very good. He walked with the creation in the cool of the day. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, don't you feel like this is the day that God was walking with Adam and Eve? God said, stay in the garden, have anything you want, but stay away from that one tree, and it was good. And when Adam and Eve did not follow the plan God had for them, there were consequences. But guess what? God laid out another plan for them and us to grab a hold of. He put into motion another plan solely for the purpose of walking with Him again. Another plan that allows us to always live in the will of God. God is so good, and God loves us so much. I often will question God and even have some hard conversations about what is going on in my life and the life of people that I love, and why is that happening? Well, why don't you think I'm always selfish thinking about me? 90% of the time, yes, but the rest, all you. But when I truly seek God, I always leave that period of time or exercise knowing that God loves me, knowing that He always wants what's best for me. He wants to be with me always. God is willing to go to any length to be with us. Jesus is about to be led to the cross, and we see that even Jesus had some questions about God's plan. He said, "My Father," and this is in the garden, of course, "if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Jesus questioned the will. Jesus questioned the plan. He resolved to know that God is good and his will is pleasing and perfect for all creation. Testing and proving God's will happens after we've resisted conforming and we've allowed that transformation of our hearts. So even Jesus can do that. Test and approve God's will. If he can, you can and should. So after that conforming, we resist the conforming to the world and we allow the transformation of our hearts. Then we can use our heart as a filter for all that God wants to do around us. If I experience hateful or hate words, it hits my heart differently if I'm transformed and I know that I should leave that. If I do as Jesus commanded and love others as Christ loved us, it will hit my heart in a way that says, I'm on the right track. Because by me loving others, they will be more likely to accept reconciliation to their Creator. Following God's good, acceptable, and perfect will allows us to enjoy life abundantly. That's a great reward. John records Jesus saying it this way, "The thief comes only to destroy. Still, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Okay, you may be thinking, I've gone so far off the plan God had for me, you're not alone. Here's the deal. God has a plan for that. When I do not obey God's word in my life, and I find myself chasing my worldly desires and patterns, God's plan was from the beginning was to offer us a way to him. The way, Jesus, grace is big enough to welcome you back to what God has in store for you. Yesterday I chased my will. I conformed to the patterns of the world. Today I'm surrendered to the transformation. And guess what? By the grace of God, he accepts you and has a new plan for you today and another tomorrow. That's your reward. It's not what we do, it's who we follow. It's not what we do, it's who we follow. Again, as a reminder, God's will for us is the posture of our heart. I don't know about you, but I have overcomplicated this walk with Jesus way too many times. I grew up thinking it was all about following a list of rules. That's what my dad had. I had rules, and if God's my father, he must have a really cool set of rules. When I messed up, I needed to beg for forgiveness and hope that I could please God once again. I'm sorry I failed you. I'll do better tomorrow. The more I walk with God, the more I see that God is laying it all out for me. Follow me, Jesus says. Stay close. Stay close. Even when you miss the mark, I'm still here, Jesus says. I love you. I want your heart, not your resume. I want to be with you in every moment, in every way. This is not just a Sunday thing. Allow me to transform your heart. Allow me to set you free. Let's read this together one more time. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I wonder what it would be like to have hearts that grasp that God loves you and simply wants to be with you daily. I wonder what it would look like if God's people resisted the temptation to conform to the patterns of the world. I wonder what it would look like if God's people took a hold of the rewards given to us and truly lived in freedom right now. That's what Paul leads to into next. The rest of the letter, the rest of this letter of Romans continues to lay out the fact that we can function as one body, right? That's where he goes from this. Made up of many parts, all with the same mission. Sharing the truth that God loves every one of his creation and wants to reconcile. We get to live all that is described in the rest of the passage when we allow that transformation to take place. That's the importance of these first two verses. You got to set the table. You got to get started correctly. And these first two verses set you up for thinking about others and what they need, for drawing them to the source of our transformation, Jesus Christ. And others are thinking about others' needs. I'm concerned about your needs as well. That's beautiful. We're able to fully be truly devoted to one another in love. And that draws others to the source of our transformation, Jesus. If I challenge you this week to read beyond the two verses we spent 5 weeks in, or even read the rest of 1 Thessalonians 5, set a picture in your mind of all that God is offering as a reward. It's a reward for not conforming, but transforming. It's a glimpse of heaven, is what it is. If you want more of what that could look like, join us next week as we start that new series, Undivided. We're going to talk about getting the book of Galatians that shares with us how the world looks to distract, destroy us, and divide us as a church. Amen. I'm going to do something a little different as we set up for communion. Sue Sullivan shared with me a story from Upper Room that pretty much was spot on to today's sermon, and I just had to share it with you. And I'm going to read this for you. On a recent Sunday morning, as the worship service was about to begin, I saw a toddler a few rows in front of me curled up tight in the arms of his father. The small child leaned in too close to his father's face that it seemed as though they were breathing the same breath. I could see the love they shared. Then the child pushed closer still and kissed his father's cheek. The author says this made her think about communion in a new way. Communion is not just about recognizing Christ's sacrifice and confessing our sin, asking for his grace and forgiveness. Certainly that is it. Certainly that's what we do. But she says it is also about coming in close and feeling the warm presence of Christ as he offers us new life. Because of that simple demonstration of the love between a father and a child, communion will now forever bring me closer to Christ's deep, abiding love. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? What a beautiful representation. Christ desires close communion with us. Not just at these special times, but every day. Maybe we don't take the elements every day, but we need to set aside time for communion with Christ every day. And if you want to do that with a piece of bread and juice, then do it. But do the union part of the communion, right? Get closer to him. Be intimate with him. He loves you. He desires you. Father, as we enter into this time of Holy Communion or the Eucharist or the Great Thanksgiving, we just ask that you bless these elements, that they become as the body and blood of Jesus Christ who died and was raised again for our salvation and for us to be in eternity with you right now. We pray for each member here that we welcome each and every person to the table. No one is turned away. Because this is the table set by the heavenly King. In Jesus' name, amen. On the night before he was crucified, Passover meal happened every year for years and years and years and years. This one was different. Jesus took the bread, a bread that was eaten every Passover meal. He broke it. He passed it each to his disciples and said, "This is my body. Take, eat. Do this in remembrance of me." Then also, at the end of the meal, he took the cup and he said, "This is my blood poured out for you for the salvation of all. Every time you drink this, do this in remembrance of me. Take, drink. Please come as you are able." Gene, can we go to the second to the last slide in that song? Yeah, this is my prayer for you guys this week, and for myself. to take my heart and form. This has been the five-week series in a nutshell right here. Take my mind, transform it. You're not going to do that. You're going to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. Take my will, conform it. We learned about that today. My will is His will. I need to be in line with His will. And then lastly, I want to conform it to His will. Conform it to God's will. In the hustle and the bustle that you're going to face this week, you might forget those words. It might slip from your memory. But you won't forget communion. You won't forget the time that you were together with your friends and fellow congregants, with the rest of the world, but certainly with Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, who loves you even if you're not thinking about Him. So try thinking about Him more. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, go.